It is Marks and Reese at the Burks Town Hall. McGurk's in Horsham, Pennsylvania, right there on Horsham Road. Get out. We're here till 6 o'clock.
E-A-G-L-E-S-E-O!
And that, like, we have not been asking for that. That just happens. That's how Eagles fans are. Well, joining us this hour, where's Don? Don Bell's supposed to be coming up here, right? All right, I see. Yeah, come on up. So Don Bell, CBS3, is going to join us up here. But joining us right now, we just ordered a Sanka from Cindy Webster.
More Howard, Sanka.
Howard Eskin, what's up, Howard?
I don't know. Is there anything going on out here today?
Well, you're drinking decaf, man. Come on.
I'm so fired up, I don't need caffeine.
All right. It's just an odd choice to hear you.
Not artificial. I don't need to artificially be fired up.
Is that a decaf there, Ike?
No, you know I don't drink decaf. I made sure I got straight fire for you, Eskin.
All right, so Howard is here this hour. Hang on, everybody. Directly to his left is our evening show host, Mr. Joe Giglio. Hello, Joe G. Hey,
what's going on, guys? How are we doing?
Oh, you know, NFL free agency. Got a lot to talk about here. And, of course,
my favorite
here he
host,
is.
My favorite host at the station, yeah, Joe G.
Joe G's your favorite?
Yeah.
I like the Joe G and the King hour. Well, Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Everyone likes that hour.
They do a great job. Don Bell of CBS3 joins us right now. What's up, Don?
What's up, man?
Where's your turtleneck, man? You got a regular shirt on.
I know, right? It's too warm out today.
Well, you're slumming down for us. I know how it is.
I forgot my shades like Howard, though. You got to get the shades on, man. Looking good.
They're prescription, actually.
Oh, God. You know what he's trying to do? He saw Gabe Kapler wearing them, and he's like, I got to be more like Gabe, right?
Oh, there you go.
Is that it, Howard?
Are those aviators?
Yeah, he's a Philly guy.
Does that mean I go out and buy coconut oil afterwards?
Oh, you set him up for that
too
one.
Easy.
I know I did. All right, so, guys, we'll check in with Elliot coming up in a second over at the IKEA free agency desk. But I guess the big news of the day, so let's just do it kind of rapid fire. Malik Jackson, 3 years, $30 million. We don't know the guarantees. Helps on the defensive line. Seems like a lot of money for a guy that, I mean, I don't know, Howard, is he on the downturn of his career? I mean, he's still a good player. It's a pretty big chunk of change, though.
I don't know how it's structured. That's the other thing. Whether they left themselves some room this year, knowing he'll probably be here at least 2 years, put more on next year when they probably have more room with the cap. So I don't know how it's structured. It does sound like a lot. But Michael Bennett last year he asked them during the season for $10 million to do a new contract for $10 million. So they knew they were... He might be better for the defensive line. I know it's not the same position, but Michael Bennett really wouldn't play tackle. He wanted to play on the edge. So yeah, that's a difference there. You knew that Howie Roseman knows what players are going to be out there, what's going to be available. The same thing, Brandon Graham. Everybody got all excited about the money, and it sounds like a lot. But then there was, what, three or four guys, Joe, that were franchised at that position? And Brandon Graham would have got that money easily on the open market.
And
so
if
he knows what's going on.
And
he
if
really
you're signing
does.
Another guy who's just more or less kind of a starter-ish type player, you're paying at least $5-7 million almost for a backup at that position. So you keep Brandon with it. So you're okay with it. Joe G?
I like it. He's a good player. And he's, you know, you think about him, he's been around a while. He played in the Super Bowl. He was on the Broncos defense, Jaguars. He's only 29. It's not like they're getting another guy that's 30, 31, 32, 33. Still in his 20s, still a good player. And I don't think the Jaguars cut him because he's not productive. They cut him because they need money, probably to sign Nick Foles. So I don't think it's one of those guys where it's, oh, he's bad, and that's why he got cut. He can still play.
Well, I think the production didn't match what his salary was last year. And we see that in the NFL all the time. When you're making a lot of money and your production isn't there, you get released. It doesn't mean that you can't play anymore. You go somewhere else. Don Bell, so far?
Yes, so far, so good. I mean, you know, he got the richest contract in Jaguars history. That was back in 2016. And like you said, Joe, he wasn't performing at that level, and you needed that money back, so they let him go. I don't think it's necessarily indicative of him not being able to play anymore. And if you're Howie Roseman, you can say a lot about Howie, but when it comes to the money, he knows what he's doing. So I don't think that he's going to put the future of this franchise in jeopardy by giving too much money to this guy.
You know, the other thing that I wonder, Flowers was not re-signed by the Patriots, so they basically replaced him with Michael Bennett. And Flowers is probably a better player. So it kind of says something. He got, a five-year contract? He's going to get a five-year contract? So he's going to get some pretty good money. It's amazing, and we don't know. They know because they watch tapes all the time, especially interior alignment, that there's guys that are getting cut all the time. You say, wait a minute, this guy can still play. So there's so much fluctuation that goes on. I'm not surprised by anything anymore that happens out there.
Yeah. So, Elliot, what's the latest? Let's send it over to the IKEA free agency desk with Elliot Tour Parks. Elliot, anything new on Deshaun? Reset what's happened today so far with Deshaun Jackson.
Well, you guys got the newsbreaker right there, the king with the shades up there with all the Deshaun scoops. So, really, he should come over to this desk. But, no, as I said, look, the man himself, Howard Eskin, said Deshaun 3-year deal potentially. On Trey Flowers, he got around 16 to $17 million per year. So he got good money. You look at what Bennett got. You look at really what Brandon Graham got compared to that. Makes that deal look better. But, look, things have slowed down a little bit. I guess we're just waiting for the Deshaun's shoe to drop.
So Tampa's got to get rid of him first before anything happens. We got to understand, even though Deshaun has said he's gone.
He's not been released.
No, right. He's not been released.
He's basically acting like he's a free agent, but he's not a free agent.
Well, Howard, what's probably happening right now is that he knows that he's not going to be on the team. The Buccaneers are trying to get even a late-round draft pick for him from a team, so they're shopping him out there. What have you heard?
Deshaun feels like he's going to get a 3-year contract. But they can't talk to the agent until he gets released. You know, I'm sure there's officially, there's all kinds of parameters that you got to, that if the agent's talking about another player, and you say, well, this wide receiver, and it could be the same as Deshaun, probably worth 3 years in a contract. You know, you see, you kind of deal with it that way. But Deshaun will not be back with Tampa, although Bruce Arians said he did want him back. He doesn't want to go back there. And I know he wants to come to Philadelphia. And I think the Eagles, and I don't know how much of that money is this year and guaranteed. It'd be kind of interesting to see how that all plays out. But in the end, Deshaun Jackson is going to go where he wants to go, and that would probably be here.
And one thing to consider, too, if the Eagles trade for Deshaun, he doesn't count against their compensatory pick formula. So if he's a free agent and they sign him to a deal that, let's say, averages $8 or $9 million a year, that could impact. I mean, Howie loves his compensatory picks. He takes that into consideration. So the Eagles do have incentive, and the Bucs have incentive to hold out, try to get the Eagles to give them something for a trade.
Hey, I got a question, too. Elliot's over at the IKEA free agency desk.
Yeah. Just call it IKEA's free agency desk.
Did you build that from IKEA?
Nah.
It looked like you. I thought I saw you with a hammer and screws and nails building that thing.
No, Spike did it earlier this morning. He was here early putting it up there. So Ike, our Marks and Reese Twitter poll question of the day brought to you by Marks Jewelers. If you're looking for the perfect engagement ring, make it remarkable at Marks Jewelers on Route 309 in Montgomeryville, PA. Online at marks-jewelers.com. So we asked the people the question, would you bring Deshaun Jackson back to the Eagles if it costs $10 million a year? 70% say no.
At $10 million?
Yeah, but Howard, that's the going rate.
Well, not if he gets cut. I don't think he'll get $10 million if he gets cut.
Well, I mean, what are we talking about? A difference of $2 million a year?
$2 million is a lot of money.
Okay, but the point of it is to the fan.
Do tell.
To the fan, to a fan saying if you want $10 million a
my
year.
My kids' cost for paying for education was $2
million. Deshaun Jackson would be the most important thing that they added this offseason if they were able to get him. It's something that this offense needs. Joe Giglio, do you think it would be a good move
to bring
Deshaun back?
Yeah, well, they need this player. I don't know if they need Deshaun, but we saw it last year. When they lost Mike Wallace, they never replaced that player. They had Torrey Smith 2 years ago. It feels like every year they're trying to find this player, and now it might come in the form of their old player, Deshaun Jackson. I want to bring him back. I'd rather bring him back for 6.5, 7.
Right.
It's a matter of another player. Like, I want Deshaun back too, but if it's 6 versus 10 or it's 7 versus 10, that might be a running back. That might be something else they could use.
And I think push that money back, though.
I think Deshaun would definitely be okay. If you're talking about a 3-year deal, $7 million. I mean, he's going to be upset at that if you're guaranteeing him $15 million. You're guaranteeing $15
million? Yeah, $15 million will go and probably take him less than a season.
I'm not worried about that. Here's the thing.
They don't want more next year.
Well, hold on. Since you made that point, then what type of deal do you think the Eagles are going to give him?
I think it could be 3 years, 30. I don't know. I didn't hear that. Could be 3 for 30, but at the end
so
of it, how much is really in the first year?
Probably 2 years. It would really be a 2-year contract. And the third year is they're going to have to redo it or cut him. But Howard, you think it's a good move?
Yeah, I like him. I like him because he's a better person than he was when we first knew him. I think he's more down there. He's not perfect. Just remember, he's not perfect. But he certainly is better and less, should I say, is the word wild? Less wild.
He's grown up.
He ain't running the streets anymore.
He's got a kid.
It's hard to run the streets in Tampa, though, man.
Yeah. We'll see. Don Bell, you like the move if it happens? Eagles, if the Eagles sign DeSean Jackson or trade for him or whatever?
By the way, Jameis Winston tells me it's not that hard to run the streets in Tampa.
Oh!
By the way, if we're keeping
score. I say it's not hard to give away the football. It's not hard to give away the Uber.
He takes an Uber anyway. But no, in all seriousness, I don't
see what you're saying.
I don't know what people are out of their minds. 70% on that poll say they don't
say
want
to no.
back. You're out of your mind. But for the last 6 years, they've been looking for somebody to play this same role, and they haven't been able to find it. DeSean Jackson, even if he's 45, can roll out of bed and run a 4.240. He's the fastest guy on the team, and he does something that nobody else can do on the squad. Yes, I would pay him that money.
Ike, we spent years before DeSean got here trying to find a wide receiver because the Eagles lacked a wide receiver. You get DeSean, and I get it. He was a pain in the ass. I get some of the reasons why he's out of here. But then the minute he left, you guys said it. You're looking for his replacement to where last year the offense suffered because they didn't have somebody that can do what DeSean does. He's underrated as far as his hands and catching the ball.
Oh, very underrated hands.
He's not a high-volume catch guy, and you don't need him to be a high-volume catch guy in this offense.
That's the best thing about adding a DeSean Jackson. He's never been a high-volume catch guy. He's always going to hover around that 50 to 60 catches a year if you're getting him the football. And you get DeSean Jackson the ball 50 to 60 times a year at almost, 17 yards per catch. You're going to be looking at a guy that's going to put up 700, 800 yards, and he's going to allow everyone else to eat.
Did he
run back punts last year for the
I think in a semi-part-time role.
Like in an emergency role.
Yeah. If Sproles doesn't
not
come back, you might need him to do that.
He could do that.
Yeah.
I mean, typically when you have a guy in his early
30s. What's our guy that we had last year?
Reno Mahe? No, he's not playing.
DeAndre Carter?
No, the other guy. The kickoff return guy.
Trey Boston.
Phew. Is that his name?
Something Boston.
I saw enough out of Boston to know I don't want him back.
The fact that we don't know says they need something. Look,
it's terrible.
Usually when you have a guy in his early 30s, he's a ghost of what he used to be. DeSean could still run he led the league in yards per catch last year. He could still do what he's supposed to do.
He went from a 4.3 flat to a 4.35.
And here's the thing. We got to remember that he makes everybody around him better. He really does. I mean, because at this point, this offense, you have a bunch of guys who are running around the same space. I love Zach Ertz. I love, guys who play in the slot here.
Aguilar.
We don't know if Nelson's going to be back. But they all occupy the same space, including Alshon Jeffrey. So having DeSean here would be a big, big help.
All right. That is Don Bell, Joe Giglio, Howard Eskin, Marks and Reese. We're live at McGurk's in Horsham. It's the Birds Town Hall. Still a lot of time to get here. The place has been packed all day long. So get out here. We'll take some phone calls this hour, 888-729-9494. Also coming up this hour, we have a known Carson Wentz. What would I call you, Joe Giglio?
A realist.
We have a Wentz realist, and we have Howard Eskin.
Yeah, some would call him a hater.
Who's wearing an Eagles championship ring.
They're on Twitter, and the haters are on Twitter.
No, not you. I mean Joe Giglio.
Oh, okay.
It's the only thing Joe and I disagree on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, you guys can argue. It'll give me a day off from arguing about Carson Wentz with you.
I won't let Howard argue with him.
But Carson Wentz 2019, what are we expecting of Carson this season? On the other side, it's Marks and Reese. We're live at McGurk's in Horsham for the Birdstown Hall. Don't go anywhere. Yes, we're back live from McGurk's Horsham Road and Horsham Birdstown Hall. John Marks, Ike Reese. Thank you to NovaCare Rehabilitation. Appreciate you. 4 o'clock hour is Howard Eskin. Joe Giglio, Don Bell. Howard, earlier we saw you out there leaning on the CBS3 van on the phone. Port, are you breaking any news? What are you doing out there? We were talking about you.
I'm just working the phones.
All right.
Just working the phones.
Let us know.
That's what I do.
All right.
Work the phones.
All right. Good. All right. So, and by the way, if you're stopping by.
Anybody answer?
He was talking.
Wait a minute. They always take my call. Always.
Not you or I, whoever he's talking to does. He called us to be.
No, you guys don't. It's all text messages.
Yeah, it's text messages. All right, so when you stop by McGurk's today, in my hand right now, and I have to be very careful with this, is a Eagles Super Bowl ring. See this, everybody? If you'd like to get a picture taken with this, right at the back of the room right here, you'll see the WIP backdrop. Now, just so you know, no funny business, there are two uniformed Horsham police officers in the house. So don't try to steal it, Howard. Oh, you already have one. Sorry.
I already have one.
All right, so Don, all right, I'm going to give this back to Cindy Webster. Nice look, huh?
I know. I was going to use that for a prop for our show on TV.
There you go, Ike.
You see it.
Pretty nice, right?
It's real.
It's real.
It's legit.
Now I'm trying to figure out why Reese ain't on here.
No, it's not. It's not.
Oh, it's not.
It's not yours.
Not mine. Oh.
Sorry. All right, I'm going to delicately give this back to Cindy Webster. Thank you, Cindy.
Don't drop that, Cindy.
So when you come by, you know, it's another reason to stop by McGurk's and have happy hour, dinner, whatever else you're having right there. So there you go.
I should have worn my conference championship ring today.
You should have. What are you doing, man? Howard showers with that damn thing on. Come on, you could at least wear it.
I don't shower with it on.
I thought you were going to say you don't shower, and I would have said,
you know, I don't wear that conference championship ring because they didn't win.
All right.
I told you, you're a hater, man.
Listen, we'll talk quarterback in a second. Let's talk about Jason Peters.
Sad but true.
I think the last few weeks, a lot of us has recognized Jason Peters probably wasn't getting cut and he was coming back. It was just a matter of if he was going to take a reduced salary or whatever. So he's taking a reduced salary. Looks like it's $5.5 million guaranteed, and then he can earn more money with playtime incentives and things like that. So, Ike, it seems like a good deal to me. I know a lot of people are looking at Jason and saying, well, he didn't finish a lot of games and he was hurt. I like this team if you're really going for the Super Bowl in 2019. I think you're a better team with Jason Peters on it than if he's not on it and you're relying on another guy, a younger guy, to protect his blind side, Carson Wentz.
Well, the key to what you just said is him being on the field. That's what I'm assuming that you're saying when you're saying him being on it. He has to be out there to play. Now, this past year, played a little over 80% of the snaps out there. 37 years old. You're going to the well again. I mean, you got through this last year with him at 37. So, listen, I think we all can appreciate how great of a career Jason Peters has had. We all feel he's going to the Hall of Fame. He's one of the greatest Eagles to ever play. But there is a time where it's time to pay the toll. And
I got easy pass.
Father time.
Ike does not have easy pass still.
I do now.
You got
Father
it?
Father time.
You finally got it?
Yes, I do. Yes, I meant to tell you that last week. Father time, yeah, after 20 years, I have easy pass. Father time usually comes knocking at the door, and you can only ignore him for so long. So the good thing for the Eagles is that it seems like it's a team-friendly deal. And it obviously get higher if he plays a certain amount of
Which
games
be a good
or
thing.
What have you. So, you know, that'll be a good thing. Hey, if he's healthy, all systems go, right?
If he's healthy, he can play.
Yeah, if he's healthy, he's
talking to the coaches, he was the best when he was on the field, the best offensive lineman for them, the way they graded it out. He really plays well when he plays. And he plays hurt, but even when he plays hurt, he plays really well. But he does get hurt a lot, and that's a problem.
And when you say on the field, I don't think you're exaggerating, right? Because if you look back at the offensive line this year, they struggled, man. Like, Lane didn't have a great year this year.
No.
Especially early.
Yeah, Lane,
the whole offensive line struggled.
And then he had the ankle injury that he was dealing with.
That is middle of the season.
Out there, yeah. So the offensive line struggled, and, you know, you want – that was the strength of the offense when they won the Super Bowl. It was the offensive line.
Joe Giglio, they did win a Super Bowl without Jason Peters on the field, by the way, with Vitae. I don't really like the depth that they have on the offensive line, but do you think it's a good move, the Eagles bringing him back at least
one
more year?
Yeah, I'm just glad they got him to take a pay cut because he had to know and his agent had to know they didn't have a better option. If Peters wanted to put up a stink, he was coming back at the same price. If they were going to cut him, there's no other option. Trent Brown got signed by the Raiders for a ton of money. They're going to the draft without a tackle. So in the past, he didn't want to take pay cuts. The fact that he took one is a big thing here because they still need him.
Yeah, they do. Don Bell?
Yeah, it's a good deal at the money. Obviously, if he were not going to take a pay cut, you would have been very nervous about it. And for me, listen, it's all about the reliability factor. Like you guys mentioned, I love it when he's on the field because he plays well. But there were way too many games where you were – from series to series, wondering if he was going to make it back on the field. And it makes you nervous to see your quarterback out there, whether it's Carson or previously Nick Foles, and wondering who's playing that position. I think some of the best athletes in football are your defensive end, you know, facing that blind side. So you better have somebody over there who's stable.
Yeah, you're right. So now what we've seen so far in free agency, guys, and how you talked about it leading up to the offseason, which was what players on this team have done for us means something to the team. This just isn't the New England Patriots where they're very cutthroat and they're getting rid of guys when they have to re-sign them. Brandon Graham got a look what looks like a pretty big contract. Jason Peters is coming back. There's talk of Darren Sproles coming back. Do you think that they're making any type of a mistake by looking at these guys that have been here and rewarding them for what they've done previously to where maybe they should have at least one eye towards what's going to happen in the future? We'll start with you, Joe G.
It worries me. And look, some of these guys they still need. Like Jason Peters, they still need. Graham, they needed because they didn't have much at defensive end, especially if they knew Bennett was going to leave. But it worries me if they're going to become too loyal, because once guys get over 30, you're playing a game every year where you don't know when the decline is coming. Like Brandon Graham last year, I know he came in with the ankle injury. Brandon Graham wasn't very good last season, and they paid him as if they believe he's still going to be good. That's a risk.
Well, yeah, but Brandon Graham didn't have any camp, so you got to give him a little bit.
I do. Okay. But you don't know. Do we know if he's coming back to be the player he was 3 years ago? Yeah. 2 years ago?
I think he's going to come back as a better player. Just knowing he's back, excited, he's going to have all of camp, he's going to be there. But in the case of Jason Peters, you don't have an option right now. So to give him a one-year deal, obviously at less than the $13 million his contract called for, I don't have a problem for it, because what are your Jordan Mailata is actually getting better, but he's not ready to be a left tackle.
Yeah, he's not. Although, you can't trust him, at least.
Not yet. But so you got to be sure that you have at least somebody there.
I was going to say, I think it's like, you know that line from Chris Rock where he says, a man is only as faithful as his options? This is what I'm thinking of with the Eagles right now, right? They don't have better options at these positions, which is why they're like, you know what? We're going to be pretty loyal right now.
They needed Brandon.
They need Brandon Graham. They need Jason Peters.
So they could spin in his loyalty when it's just their only option.
Yeah, like, oh, we're being really loyal. But I'm like, if there was somebody else out there at their price, I think they would have made those moves.
Yeah. Seems to make sense. All right.
Ike was weirded out with that analogy, though, by the way. He thought about it real long.
Well, you're the only single man up here. You and your mans and options.
Yeah, that's what he was really thinking about. I was like, what time is it?
It's
all about options.
All right. So guys, listen, Carson Wentz, we know, a very eventful 2018, which ended with him, again, not being on the field. Coming off an ACL injury, certainly it was going to be tough from the start for him. I guess I looked at Carson Wentz in 2018, and I thought, regardless of him coming off an ACL, that he was just going to get right back on the field and be the Carson Wentz of 2017. Now, that probably wasn't realistic, but I also felt like, injury aside, it was just there was something missing in 2018. And, Joe, I know that you agree with me here with Carson. What do you expect from Carson in 2019? Is he going to be closer to the 2017 MVP caliber Carson, or are we going to see stats, touchdowns, yards, but maybe some not as many games winning as we saw in 2017?
Well, he needs his legs back. That's the one thing I kept noticing last year. He didn't move, and I understand why he didn't. He was coming off the injury. Maybe they coached him not to. Maybe he didn't feel comfortable. But watching him for 3 years, guys, now I don't think he's the kind of quarterback that if he just stays in the pocket, is just going to dominate football games the way Drew Brees does, the way Aaron Rodgers does. He could be good from the pocket, but not great. If he runs next year the way he did 2 years ago, I mean, think back to 2 years ago now, his almost MVP year. If you close your eyes, most of the big plays he made, he moved. He evaded pressure. He made something out of nothing. Last year, how many of those plays did he make? Two or three the whole year? If he has his legs back, he could be really, really good. If he doesn't, I think he's a good quarterback, but not a great quarterback.
And those other guys that are good at being pocket quarterbacks are because they are pocket quarterbacks. That's what they do. So when you have quarterbacks that have the ability to extend plays with their legs, in order for them to be special, they have to extend plays with their legs. That's like saying Cam Newton should only be a pocket quarterback. No, that wouldn't make Cam Newton the special quarterback that he is.
Right, Wentz wasn't the Wentz we saw 2 years ago.
Because he didn't have the mobility there. But here's what coaches, most importantly, and even Carson, but fans to a certain degree, make up your mind what type of Carson Wentz you want. Don't tell me he has to stay healthy, but you want him to be an electrifying quarterback. Because when he extends plays with his legs, he leaves himself susceptible to being hit. when you're a pocket quarterback and you get the ball out of your hands on time, then you don't worry about hits as much. What made Carson the second pick in the draft is because he's not a statue in the pocket. It's because he can extend plays. So when they drafted him, they knew this. They drafted a quarterback that makes plays with his legs. If you don't want a quarterback to get hit while running the football or extending plays, you shouldn't draft a quarterback that has the ability to extend plays when that's what he did at North Dakota State. That's what he did his first 2 years in the league. It's the reason why he didn't look special this year, because he didn't have the ability to do that. But we have to look at this moving forward. That's what makes him special, is his ability to do the unthinkable at times. He's not just a pocket quarterback a la Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Tom Brady. Eli Manning. All these guys that can move in the pocket, guess what? They miss games. And you can go from Aaron Rodgers, you can name all of them. They all miss games. The guys that don't miss games typically are the guys that are, they don't have the ability to extend plays.
Yep. But he also has to pick his spots, though, because last year he got hit a lot in the pocket because he held the ball too long. I feel like he's fighting that. Should I run? Should I hold it? Should I throw?
Right.
Some of the, like, I don't know when he got hurt last year, the back, but it wasn't like he was running all year.
In the pocket.
It feels like
he got hurt in the pocket.
Yeah, he got hit in the pocket a lot last year because he holds the ball too long sometimes.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you. He has to get rid of the ball sooner, right? I mean,
he has to decide what kind of quarterback he wants to be, not just us. Like, what does he want to be?
Well, but here's my thing, though. When it doesn't work, we're going to go to the opposite argument to complain about it. Like, that's what we do. Well, I know, but I'm saying, on one hand, we'll say we want him to be special, so when he extends a play and he gets injured, then everybody says, don't run.
Right.
And then you say, well, he's not a pocket quarterback, so he needs to have his mobility. Well, which is it?
I don't want him to be Shelai Manning, where somebody gets within 2 yards of him.
That he's just dropping, yeah.
Yeah, you got to try to extend plays, but that doesn't mean you run, but you just extend plays.
Look at Russell Wilson. He's a good example. And I know he's smaller than Carson, and that actually means something. It never seems like he takes a direct or a flush hit. He has an uncanny ability of getting down, getting out of bounds, or getting rid of the ball. If Carson could do that, pick and choose the spots. But I'm with you. Like, he's not a pocket. You didn't draft him second overall because he's a pocket quarterback.
Right.
You picked him second overall because he has the playmaking skills, and he should continue to do that. But Donnie needs to be smart about it.
I think part of the reason why he held the ball last year is because he just didn't play. I mean, he's coming off a layoff, and then we're tossing you into pro football, and all of a sudden you're supposed to be on point. It doesn't work that way. There's a reason why these guys go through the offseason program and have guys out to wherever they're from to go through these exercises with their wide receivers, et cetera, to get on the same page, find chemistry. He didn't have an opportunity to do that, and it was pretty obvious that when he got in, he was slower than everybody else. He was slow making his reads. He was slow making decisions, didn't trust what he saw. So I hope that now that he has a full offseason, he's going to be a little quicker with the decision-making. He has to be. And then, of course, the flip side is he just wasn't healthy enough to get away from defenders the way he was in the past.
Yeah, we're live from McGurk's in Horsham. It's the Birds Town Hall. John Marks, Ike Reese, Howard Eskin, Joe Giglio, and Don Bell, as we'll take some phone calls here at 888-729-9494. And we'll go to Alex in Queens, New York. Alex, what's going on, man? Yeah, up in Queens. What's up, Alex?
Hey, nothing much. You know, you look at Nelson Aguilar, this guy means so much more to the team than just that. The biggest thing in professional sports is chemistry and intangibles. The Patriots show you every year it's not about having the most talent, it's about having the right mix of guys. The Eagles will never sniff a Super Bowl if DeSean Jackson is back in that locker room. He's ruined Chip Kelly's career. He got Andy Reid fired. He got Dirk Cotter fired. Ask all the Buccaneers sources. They will tell you this guy is a terrible headache for a team. He's horrible for chemistry, and it would be a massive mistake if Harry Roseman made the same mistake like he did in 2011 and 2012 when he assembled the dream team, where he picked talent over getting the right mix of guys. I thought getting rid of Foles was the worst decision in Eagles history. Bringing back DeSean Jackson would destroy any chance of this team ever getting back to a Super Bowl.
Well, hey, genius, can I ask you a question? $25 million for a backup, how is that the worst decision in Eagles history?
Because when you have a guy that puts up 42 points against the greatest coach of all time, and then he comes back.
41, by the way. So
41
get that
points
right.
Against, okay. And going back to Bill Belichick's years in Cleveland and New York, he's never given up in a playoff game. 41 points in a game, except for Nick Foles. This guy took the franchise that never won a Super Bowl. The next year brings them back to the playoffs. So, yeah, that is a massive mistake to get rid of him. But
okay,
aside from that,
but back to my point of $25 million. Where are you going to put that $20 million? That's the whole cap.
Yeah, but Howard, he doesn't want to... He has the backup. He wants him as the starter. Can't you hear it in his voice?
I don't mind him being a backup because, remember, if Carson Wentz gets hurt, we know Foles has proven he can do it. If Carson Wentz doesn't get hurt, okay, then help.
But Alex, would you agree that based on last year, the last thing you can do, forget about money for a second, is to bring Nick Foles back?
No, because this team shows you they're capable of winning as constituted with Nick Foles on the roster. They don't need to make more moves. They're good.
Yeah, but they also had a lot of holes, Alex, because they were paying Foles a lot of money to be a backup. And I like Foles, but they were paying him a lot.
I can't have the Nick Foles. He's going to sign with Jacksonville, it looks like. I can't have the Nick Foles discussion. Hey, these two can fight about Carson Wentz, but I can't have the Nick Foles.
John, I think you touched on the point. If you pay him $25 million, then you can't fill the other holes on your team, so now your team is not going to be really that good.
But then, as Ike and I talk about a lot, and as a guy who has Nick Foles tattooed on my back, now I have the Jacksonville Jaguars likely on my back, the starting quarterback of the Jags. But to that point, now you're going to have guys in that locker room, maybe some of them think that he's the better option than Carson Wentz. I mean, just the chemistry you saw last year, the figure of Nick Foles looming over Carson Wentz. If you've determined Carson Wentz is a quarterback that you're going to have for the next 10 years, however many years it is, I can't have Nick Foles back here.
Foles is a nice quarterback, but I think, and I love Nick Foles, and I love what he's done for this organization. But to say that he's as good as Carson Wentz, you're on drugs. I mean, really, it's just...
Well, last year he was. This past season he was.
Well, no, not for part of it. It's just there's some games that he's... And I don't want to criticize Nick Foles because of what he did. He really did a lot of...
He did.
Good things.
He did.
And made a lot of really good plays. And Nick Foles was great for this franchise, but you had to move on.
There's nobody in the NFL that would have kept Nick Foles and moved on from Carson Wentz.
Correct.
There's not one person in any front office in the NFL that would have done that.
Well, maybe.
I don't know about that.
I do.
I mean, that's not true. That's not true.
Well, I mean, what are we talking about? Some film person or some a cowboy?
We've seen a lot of crazy moves in the NFL. I'm sure there's somebody who would prefer to have Nick Foles over Carson Wentz.
Okay. I mean, the gap between them right now isn't as big as we want to make it.
Yeah. I mean, come on. Because one guy's a franchise quarterback, we look at the other one and say, because he's gone.
I don't disagree about the gap in how they played on the field. I'm not disagreeing with that, but there's no GM in the NFL that's going to say, no, I'll take Nick Foles and I'm shipping Carson Wentz out.
Here's the thing I'll tell you about that. Nick's going to have another opportunity to lead a franchise. It's easy to say all these things right now, but when he goes to the next team and things don't turn out the way people expect them to, people go right back to saying, well, see, I told you he can only play in Philadelphia and he's a system quarterback. So, like, Nick has to go to Jacksonville and prove that he can, or wherever he's going, and prove that he can take a team from the start of the season to the end of the season, to the playoffs, and then to a Super Bowl. Because as of right now, no matter how you want to paint the picture, the reality is he played a fourth of the Super Bowl season, and the other guy played three-fourths of the season.
It's amazing that somebody actually, at this point, I thought we passed by Nick Foles.
We have Foles truthers right here. We have Don Bell, the Foles truther. I love it.
He's never passed by.
I love it.
I'm playing devil's advocate. We got to go
break.
Other side.
We stirred him up, Mikey.
There is no devil's advocate.
Marks and Reese, we're live in McGurk's in Horsham, the Burtstown Hall. We go uninterrupted here for nearly 1 hour, and it's a good time to get in at 888-729-9494. We'll take some phone calls here, and I think a DeSean Jackson topic would be good for phone calls, Ike, because it seems like the Eagles are poised to either trade or sign DeSean, or both, when he becomes available, depending on what the Buccaneers do. So, do you like it or not like it? He's going to be getting, we said $10 million a year on the Twitter poll. He's getting at least seven or eight a year, depending, Ike. So do you like it?
Yeah, I like it.
I don't like it. I love it.
Oh, okay.
He's exactly what they need.
Yeah.
You know, and I know he's not a perfect fit with everything, some of the off-the-field stuff, but he's coming in here to a locker room that already won a Super Bowl. He's mature. This isn't DeSean where he was drafted, he re-signed, where he's kind of holding court in the locker room. He's coming in where I think he understands why he's being brought in. And listen, You can say a lot about Deshaun. He hasn't been in trouble, right? He's not doing stupid things on Twitter. For the most part, he's a pain a little bit, probably a pain in the ass still a little bit, but for the most part, he stays out of the limelight. I love Deshaun Jackson coming back to Philly. So what do people think? 888-729-9494. And then we'll also have Mike Florio coming up at 5 o'clock Pro Football Talk. He's going
to
join us.
And here's the other thing. People wanted the Eagles to go out there. John Brown, Tyrell Williams, who I like, L.A. Chargers. Those guys,
they're not going to be free.
Yeah, they're younger, and they're going to cost a lot more. They're probably going to cost you a lot more. So the Eagles probably don't want to go into free agency trying to win a bidding war for those other two younger guys. Deshaun is a guy who wants to be here and wants to come here.
Here's what I know.
I know him.
I know what I'm getting with Deshaun. John Brown, right. I'm not sure what I'm getting, right?
He's a good player, though.
I mean, okay, yeah.
He's not Deshaun.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good player. Don Bell and Howard are with us. So Joe Giulio left because he's actually going at 6 o'clock at the studio in Old City. So we had to let him get out of here a little bit early. Guys, we agree. We like Deshaun if that ends up happening, Don.
Yeah, I absolutely love it. I mean, he just does something that nobody else in the roster can do. You need that. I mean, we saw several times over the last season how guys were running in the same space, defenders were not threatened deep, and this changes everything if they're able to get him.
Yeah, Howard? The only thing that I worry about, and I don't know how many Ike, you got your little iPad there. You can check it.
Your little iPad.
Your little iPad there.
What, check it on your phone that you're always on?
Yeah, no, as big as an iPad. Let's go.
He gets hurt.
He does,
games, and that's the only thing I worry about.
Speed guys always hamstring something.
And that'll probably continue, right?
Yeah, he's 32.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's going to miss a handful of games. It's something you have to deal with, but it's a good point.
Oh, you want me to see how many games he missed?
I just want to see how many games he's played over the years.
All right, so while you're doing that,
the iPod,
it's time to check.
Watch out, man.
It's time to check in at the IKEA free agency desk. Elliot Shore Parks has been manning the desk since 6 a.m. this morning.
ESB!
Elliot, give us what happened today in the NFL.
Busy day for the Eagles, who maybe made the most news of all the teams. Obviously, you guys discussed Deshaun. He's still on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers right now. He's not been released. He posted on Instagram goodbye to the team, but he's still under contract with the Buccaneers. So he could end up in Philly, but there's still a hurdle there to overcome. Perhaps the biggest deal is Malik Jackson, defensive tackle from the Jaguars, 3 years, $30 million, massive upgrade for this team. When you look at who they had next to Fletcher Cox, I think he's considerably better, maybe better than Timmy Jernigan when Timmy was healthy. But that's a big deal. And then obviously Jason Peters back for 2019. As Howard alluded to, played really well last year when he was healthy. I think his reputation, people think he was not great last year. He played well when he was healthy. So I think that's a big signing for the team.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of money, but this is what guys make in the NFL in 2019. If you're getting an above average starter, which I have to believe Malik Jackson is, again, the guaranteed money is what we're really talking about.
He's missed 13 games in the last 4 years.
D-Jack.
Deshaun?
Deshaun?
Yeah.
Okay. No, I was curious.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Yeah. You never know. Yeah. No, he's missed a few games over the last four seasons.
All right. So Malik Jackson, 330. What else on the Eagles front today, Elliot?
Well, from the Eagles front, one big move that might end up impacting them is Landon Collins, the Giants safety. He's now signed with the Redskins. I think 6 years, $84 million. And just in right now, Ian Rappaport, Nick Foles is signing with the Jaguars. So everyone assumed that was going to happen. It seems to be a done deal now.
I thought he was coming back.
That's breaking news. 94WIP breaking news powered by Radio.com Sports and brought to you by the 2019 Mercedes-Benz A-Class. Nick Foles, and we're talking about $22 million a year. Is there any, are we talking at like,
no,
years?
No money. The total years are not out yet, but $22 million, I mean, when we talked about whether you could bring Foles back, what would happen, the franchise tag, 25, was the number we talked about. So he gets a little under that per year, but what he really gets is a chance to go lead that franchise, something he just wasn't going to get here in Philadelphia, even though he's won their biggest games over the last two years.
Four for 88. I guess I'm surprised because it didn't seem like there was another team that was really that interested in him. We thought he was going to get paid like a starter, but I thought maybe he would have to take a little bit less because there wasn't multiple teams, at least on the surface, that was interested.
For Nick.
Yep, for Nick.
Yeah, even with that being the case, when you're a starting quarterback, which is what he is,
That's what you make.
You're going to demand a certain price.
He's going to get over $20 million.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to get that.
Not exactly chump change.
The contract apparently has a max value of $102 million, so he's got plenty of incentives in there.
Oh, you saw a deal. What is it? I didn't hear the number.
It's a 4 years, $88 million with a max incentive of $102 million.
Okay.
Wow.
So franchise quarterback money for Nick Foles.
Yeah. Okay.
Good for Nick.
Good for him.
And a lot of people in Philly are going to become Jag fans. I know I will.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Ike and I talk about it all the time.
No state tax in Florida?
It's a good spot for him.
Not bad.
You know, I worry about the team that he's going to. They didn't look good last year. Can they return to what they looked like the previous year? That was a good defense. I don't know if there's chemistry issues. I don't know about the head coach. So, I mean, it's
well, I'll tell you what I do know. They expect Nick Foles to come in there and be the cure-all.
No, you're right.
That's what I do know. It's not about you don't have this, you don't have that, you don't have... When they tab you as the franchise guy, the next guy, they are expecting you to come in there and erase all that other stuff.
This is more pressure for him.
It really
is. Than playing in the Super Bowl.
It really is.
No question, because, you know, when you're the underdog, you're the backup, nobody expects much from you. What they get is, you know, it just looks good, whatever you can do.
You know,
but in this scenario, Jacksonville
is expecting to get Super Bowl MVP Nick Foles.
Yes.
Like, that's what they're expecting
On a weekly basis, by the way.
Those fans just accept 80 degrees and sunshine. That's all.
It's always nice.
Well, I mean, he can't go down there and beat Blake Bortles.
No, he can't do that. No, he can't. And honestly, if they expect him to come down and be kind of, I use the word elixir that Carson Wentz is supposed to be for the Eagles, I'm not sure if they're getting that. What did we learn with Nick Foles? If things around him are good, if he's protected, if he's throwing the ball well, he can be as good as anybody. But we also saw the other Nick Foles, where things aren't going well, and he looks like a backup quarterback.
And the expectations are high. And that's why this will be an interesting situation because, again, if you're a Jacksonville, just picture you being a Jacksonville Jaguar fan.
You're excited right now,
You just got the Super Bowl MVP from 2 years ago. He outdueled Tom Brady. They're not going to temper their expectations with Nick Foles coming in. They're saying, oh, we got the missing piece with Nick Foles coming in.
It's going to be interesting.
I don't think he's going to feel the pressure as much as you think. Just watching him play and react, and he doesn't let that bother him.
Well, he may not feel it, but it's going to be there.
But, Howard, he has the expectation now that he's never had before. And I agree with you. I don't know if that Nick lets that bother him. But there's a whole lot different in coming in for Carson Wentz when he's injured than now you're the franchise quarterback down there. Big difference. But we'll see. I'm rooting for
him. It's a good thing it's in Jacksonville.
Yes.
It's not much media there.
Yeah. I hope he enjoys another London trip this year.
Are you going down to the press conference?
For Nick Foles?
Yeah. You fly down like for...
I know you like Florida.
Bryce.
Probably should.
Elliot, anything else of note?
Just the Nick Foles thing, really. I mean, look, the Eagles have been so active today, probably the most active team in the league, like I said. At this point, you know, I'm monitoring, I'm texting people, we'll see, but Nick Foles is the big news right now.
All right, there you have it.
They got no receivers.
Yeah, exactly.
They're going to have to get somebody.
I mean, they're only 2 years removed from the championship game. They got a good defense, they got a running game, so they got John DeFilippo. That's a good thing.
Got a familiar face down there. Hopefully they'll fire Doug Marrone and hire John DeFilippo as the head coach.
Did I say that out loud? I'm sorry.
Based on his
last job, I'd worry about running the offense first, Ike.
Oh, you're talking about Flip?
Yeah, talking about Flip.
Oh, he's not a coaching commodity anymore?
Well, I mean, it doesn't seem like he was on the fast track. All right, take a couple phone calls here. Paul, Northeast Philly. Hi, Paul.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Great show.
Thank you.
What's up, Paul?
One of my problems I have with Wentz is, and first of all, I do agree Foles had to go just so Wentz ain't looking over his shoulder. Number two is I think Wentz is slow on his reading progression in his passing game. I think that's something he's going to get better as he gets older. I think Foles did it better. That's probably the reason why Ertz got a lot more passes and he was his go-to guy. But I really, really like if Deshaun comes in and can open up the field, I think that'll hit him a lot.
You know what? I don't know that Ertz got a lot more passes with Wentz than Foles. There was one game, I think, didn't Ertz
the
catch
numbers
like
say
12
that's not true.
Or
we've already debunked this already.
Yeah. The numbers say that's not true.
It seems like it feels that way, though. I've seen the numbers. I know what the numbers say, but the eye test tells you it just feels different.
I can't explain the numbers.
I can't explain that. And I understand, and the numbers don't bear that out. It's been pretty equal, right?
Yeah, because it's the way their offense is. Once they got Golden Tate, there was, you know what? I thought it was good at the time, but there was two guys that doing the same thing kind of screwed that all up. And it's not a slight on either one, whether it's Aguilar.
Yeah, but they play the same position,
right? They play the same position. So
and then you throw Jordan Matthews in there with them.
Yeah, right.
All three of them, same spot.
The way that things worked out, the tight end, which, I mean, Zach Ertz just was always open.
If you think about it, Ike's mentioned this before, that Carson isn't a guy that's throwing the spots or is just throwing the ball up hoping a guy can do it. He's throwing open receivers. Less open receivers, especially early in the season, means more throws to Ertz because he checks down, he's comfortable, he's getting positive yards. And a guy that's coming off an injury that's more or less just trying to make a positive impact to make positive plays, it makes a lot of sense why he would target Zach Ertz more.
And it's the easier throw for him, right over the middle. I mean, for most quarterbacks, the tight end, if they got a good tight end, he's going to get a good number of those targets just because it's the easier throw for them to make.
Right.
And Zach Ertz is a great security blanket. He just is. The problem, when I looked at the Eagles' offense, it was really more or less the lack of explosive plays. That's really what stood out more than anything. It was just a lack of explosive play. And I think a big part of it was too many of those games, they were just one-dimensional. It was easy for a defense to figure out how to stop them, how to slow them down. And then Doug didn't help in certain games because he would make the offense one-dimensional. He would go away from the run.
Ripping the head coach.
No, but here's the thing. I also think
he would get away. He'll tell you.
Put that out as a question. Would you like Doug Peterson to remain as head coach of the Eagles? Well, your Twitter question.
But I would say this. There's a reason
why Doug went away next year as the head coach.
What'd you say, Don?
I'm saying there's a reason why they went away from the run. I mean, offensive line wasn't very good. And by the way, can we please get a running back?
More of a reason, and you're right, to not say, okay, well, we'll go with this guy and we'll team him up with this guy. I don't know if Le'Veon Bell is realistic at this point. Probably not. But you can go out in free agency.
Not at that money.
And you can sign somebody that you can say, that's our starting running back. Then you can add the Corey Clements or the other guys that you want to. And you have to draft somebody. I just can't be like, oh, well, we'll draft somebody later on in the draft.
That hasn't worked, Don. Enough with the Band-Aids. Okay, I'm ready for a real running back. Bring me in somebody like that. You need exactly. You need a real running back, and people are devaluing the position.
I agree. They
got to stop.
What about Shady?
Well, how about this? There is some news.
Here we go. He's trying to start all.
Speaking of the Buffalo Bills, Frank Gore to the Buffalo Bills on a 1-year, $2 million contract. Remember when he was an Eagle for 36 hours?
Yep.
Remember that?
He wanted to go to Indy, right?
It was longer was it longer than Malik Bridges? I mean, Michael Bridges?
Yes, it was. That was minutes.
15 minutes.
That was minutes. So now in Buffalo, let's connect the dots, all right? Okay. Now in Buffalo.
I'll connect them, yeah.
You have 30 years. They're all 30. LeSean McCoy, Chris Ivory, and Frank Gore.
Yo, let me tell you.
Sean's gone.
Go on, tell me.
Yeah.
Is he gone?
What? Of course he's gone.
Yeah.
Could be headed back here.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
LeSean and Deshaun?
Yeah.
Is that what you're telling me?
Bring everybody back. Right?
$12 million a year? Is that what he's making?
Well, he won't get that here.
All right. Marks and Riesel, 94 WIP HC1 Philadelphia, broadcasting away from our Tasty Cake studios.
We got to unring one more thing Chip did.
Is that it?
That was Shady.
Oh, yeah. Howie's complete. Howie's complete if he brings LeSean McCoy back. We're at McGurk's and Horsham. It's the Birdstown Hall. Joining us right now is our information man, our rumor man, Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, and, of course, NBC Sports Radio's PFT Live show. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
So, DeSean Jackson back to Philly.